I'm Professor Brad Fulton, and welcome to my Stats Podcast. This is an edited audio recording of my course. Each lecture is its own episode, and there's a total of 24 lectures. This course provides an introduction to the quantitative methods social scientists and data analysts use to collect and evaluate empirical data about society. Through this course, you will learn to gather, describe, and analyze data with an emphasis on the application and interpretation of these methods. This course will also help you to be a more informed and critical reader of academic research, public opinion polling, and advertisement claims that present statistical evidence. Although some of the current events I reference might be dated, the content is timeless. I hope you enjoy this lecture, and if you have any questions, you can email me at bradrfulton@gmail.com. Hi, my name is Professor Fulton. If you like this podcast, you'll love the book I use for the course. It's titled Statistics, Unlocking the Power of Data. This book uses a highly intuitive approach to help students visualize statistical concepts, which accelerates understanding. I've reviewed dozens of textbooks, and Unlocking the Power of Data is hands down the best one out there, mainly because of its unique intuitive approach and straightforward explanations. You can find a link to the textbook in the show notes, and if you use the promo code LOCK5, you'll get a 10% discount. So good news is you guys basically have all the skills for finishing this course. We basically covered all of the stuff we need to cover, and so these last 3 days are going to be focused basically on applying it to your final project. And so the remainder of the homework assignments will just be making progress on your final project and pulling it all together. So all the different tests that I've done in part two are these scattered pieces, and you'll be beginning to pull them all together. And it falls into the category of multiple regression, and we'll get into what that means. But last week we learned about simple linear regression, and this is moving on to when you have multiple predictors. So everything up until this point is variable X predicting variable Y, but now we're going to have multiple variables predicting variable Y. The examples I'm going to use are straight from GSS so that you guys can just get a sense for how to pull this together for your final project. On the exam, following from the part two stuff, is understanding GSS output. And GSS output is the same as any other computer output, but they all have their own specific notation, and they'll put different pieces in different places or might give you extra information that you don't necessarily need. But I'm going to be walking through how to make sense of the output that you get in GSS. Our dependent variable is political views, and our independent variable is age. And I've recoded age, and I'll explain to you how I recoded it and maybe why I recoded it. But if you want to know the beta of age or the slope of age, it's 0.094. It's this first column, B. And it's basically the effect that age has on political views. And political views range from extremely liberal to extremely conservative. From the previous page where you set up, you do a multiple regression, and you plug in your dependent variable and your independent variable. And then if you want to know the standard error for this slope, it's right next to it. So all these things that you've been calculating, figuring out, well, what's the standard error of the sample statistic, most computer programs will figure that out for you, but you kind of need to know what it is before you can sort of use it, and so that's why we calculated it up until this point. Then the test statistic for our sample statistic, T, equals beta age minus beta naught over the standard error of beta. And so it's the same thing where we're basically, with a hypothesis test, we're testing to see if this slope, how unusual it would be to get a slope of that size when the null hypothesis is true. And so, in a sense, beta naught would be zero, because you're basically saying there's no effect. Age doesn't have any effect on political views. And this is the formula we use. So it's basically beta age over the standard error of beta. So if you plug in the numbers, you get where you have in this cell, which is T statistic. Basically, all the little step-by-step calculations that we've done are all nicely presented onto this output. So you might say 23.5 is different from 25.5.
And the main thing is just due to rounding. It depends where you're going to round the numbers off. And also, if you think about a T statistic of 23 or 25, where does that fit on the T distribution? Like, if you think about the T distribution, where would a value of 23 fit on a T distribution? It'd be way, 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 way over here. Because remember, 2 is usually the typical threshold. And so if you have 23, you're like way off the charts. And so differing between 23 and 25 actually is not bad, because, you know, it's very unusual to get a T statistic as extreme as 23. And so then you can also say the p-value for this T statistic is 0.000. And so if functionally zero, like there's a 0% chance of getting a T statistic as extreme as 25.5. And so what that's saying is the probability of beta being greater than zero, we can reject the null which says that beta equals zero and conclude that we're highly confident that the slope, that the effect of age on political views is greater than zero. So that kind of walks you through some of the things in GSS, and there's more stuff, but we'll keep walking through. Okay, and then another one I had was intercept. Intercept is, in GSS, they call it the constant, but it's basically right here. The intercept's kind of a funny thing because you'll get a test statistic for it and a probability for it. And I guess there's some situations where it'd be really important, but it's needed to draw the line. You kind of need to know where it crosses the y-axis, but you wouldn't say that the intercept is significant or that the p-value of the intercept is this. It's just more, it's part of the equation that you come up with. So it's important in knowing how the line fits. So then the regression equation for this regression would be political views equals 3.763 plus 0.094 times age. And so the effect of age on political views is for every 1 unit increase in age, political views shifts by 0.094 points. After you run the analysis and you have your significant variables, we're predicting outcomes. And this is stuff that we've already done, but we have our regression equation, which represents the relationship between age and political views. So I recoded age to be in 10-year intervals, because it was sort of like, well, how much does a 23-year-old differ from a 24-year-old? It was almost too much of a fine-grain differentiation, so it was more like wanting to look at how do people in their 20s differ from their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, and 60s. And so a lot of you will want to do this, but the variables are there to serve you. Like, you're not bound to what the variable is, but like some people take income and they turn it into a binary variable, and they say people above the poverty line and people below the poverty line, and just do an analysis like that, versus like, well, I don't really care the difference between someone who's making $100,000 or $200,000. For my analysis, it's people below the poverty line or above the poverty line. So you'll want to make sure your variable reflects what you're analyzing. I think maybe it was McKay had a variable called job loss, like what's the likelihood that you'll lose your job in the next year and how that affects happiness. And one of the categories was I'm leaving the labor market, basically like someone who might be pregnant and she's going to have a baby. And so she's, the question, are you going to lose your job in the next year, is irrelevant because she's leaving the labor market. So you just drop that category from your analysis, because her question was, if you think you're going to lose your job, is that going to affect your happiness level? And this one group of people that say, well, I'm not even going to be in the labor market, sort of wouldn't make sense to keep having that category. It'll be to your benefit, and it'll show that you're getting it if you recode variables. And if you didn't do that, it'd be like, okay, this is really confusing. Why'd you keep it in a confusing form? Because you could easily switch it around. You really just need to have a reason for doing it. So like when I switched age to 10-year increments, it was just because I was interested in looking at blocks of people. And so like with religion, I think there's 12 or 13 different religious groups that you can be a part of, but some of those groups are such small proportion of the population that you might just want to say, If you're less than 5%, you're put into this other category. So we've just been tied to what GSS has, but now as you're doing your own analysis, you can recode it into whatever fits your theory and your research question. So like even with political views, it's intuitive in the sense that it says it's about political views, but you don't know which direction it is. So you might want to say political conservatism, so that you would know that as value, you know, you call the variable political conservatism, so that as the values go up, the person's becoming more politically conservative. Because otherwise, right now, you're kind of like, well, what does it mean that the value of political views goes up? It just doesn't make intuitive sense. But with predicting outcomes, I want to look at the predicted political views of a person in age category one. Like I said, I recoded age to be in 10-year increments. So it takes category one is now people between 18 and 20. Category two is people between 21 and 30, 31 and 40, and so on. When I say I want to know the political views of people in age category one, it's basically the political views of people between 18 and 20. So when you plug in here, you don't plug in 18 or 19 or 20, you just plug in the category value. And so then we see the political views for people between 18 and 20 is 3.857. The important interpretation of this is that it's the mean political view score for people between 18 and 20 years old. So it doesn't mean that everyone between 18 and 20 now has a political view score of 3.857. It's just saying if you look at that subpopulation, the mean political view score is 3.857. And then if I want to compare it to people in the age group of 7, which is people in their 70s, we have political views score of 4.421. And that's the mean political view score of people between 18 and 20. And what's, you have a question?
Do we have to calculate every single one? Like you do 1 through 8, you have to do for all of them?
No, you mean do we have to predict?
Yeah.
No, the reason why I'm doing this and why you should probably do at least one is it puts flesh to it.
Okay.
And also you're kind of testing it to make sure it makes sense. Like if our theory is that people become more conservative as they get older and I do this analysis and it turns out that this number is actually less than, I'm like, wait, is something wrong with my analysis or something wrong with my theory? When I first was doing this, I was like, wait a minute. If political views, the values range from 1 to 7, and I'm doing more or less the most extreme ages, age groups, the youngest people compared to more or less the oldest people, and they're still all right around the center. I think 4 is the center. And so it's like, gosh, it doesn't really vary that much. But what this is giving you is, again, the mean value. And it's just saying, on average, younger people are going to have a lower political view score. But it's not like you shouldn't expect to find a score of like 1.2 on this, because that would mean that age is affecting everything. So right now, the mean score for people between 18 and 20 is 3.857, and the mean score of people in their 70s is 4.4. So if you remember when we do these two-way tables where you have age up here and political views across here, you can see the mean score for people between 18 and 20 is 3.82, and then the mean score for people in their 70s is 4.33. You actually can see this in the data. This is another way of finding out the same answer. The overall mean political view score is 4.13, and that's right here, if you see row total. So you can begin to estimate what's going on just by looking at even this table. A conclusion from this is that although age is significant, the magnitude of its effect on political views is relatively small. So just because it's a significant factor, the magnitude doesn't really shift one's political views a great deal. A thing that we'll be doing as we build the analysis is explaining. What we're wanting to do is explain the variation in outcomes. And so with political views, the values vary from 1 to 7. So if you pull out the population, you're going to get a distribution of responses that vary from 1 to 7. And the main purpose of regression analysis is to explain the variation in outcomes. So I want to know why some people have really low political view scores and why some people have very high political view scores. What causes people's scores to vary? If it's attitudes about homosexuality, there's a range of values that people have. What things explain the variation across values? And so with this one, we want to know what variables help to explain the variation in political views. And so one variable is age. That's a significant variable that explains some of the variation in political views. It says people's political views vary by age. The question that we want to ask when we select one variable is, what proportion of the variation in political views does age explain? Political views has a lot of variation in it. People range from 1 to 7. What proportion of the variation in political views does age explain? Using ANOVA, the analysis of variance, it basically analyzes how much variation is in your data. And so it says we can calculate an R-squared value for our model. And so you have your R-squared value, which is 0.014. And R-squared, the interpretation of it, and this is probably the key thing, is that it's the proportion of variation in the dependent variable that the independent variables explain. Another way of thinking about it is that a person's age explains 1.4% of the variation in political views. If we know a person's age, we have 1.4% more information about what their political views is going to be. But it also indicates that 98.6% of the variation in political views remains unexplained. Like, we don't know why political views vary. Another interpretation of this is that this model that we have explains 1.4% of the variation in political views. What we'll be moving forward with is, right now we just have one independent variable, and we want to know, well, what other variables could explain the variation in political views. So that's why with your guys' projects, you have multiple variables that you're going to be putting in to explain your particular outcome. Just to be able to explain 1.4% of your outcome, there's a lot that's left unknown, but the idea is to get that R-squared value up to, I mean, ideally 100%, but really, even if you can explain 30% of the variation in political views, you're doing really good. Multiple regression extends the simple linear regression to include multiple independent variables. Just building a bigger model, the regression equation is taking our simple linear model, which is this, and then just adding more variables. And you can add as many variables as you want to your regression. And it says multivariate regression models can explain more of the variation and why. So the reason why you would use multiple regression is because you want to explain the most variation in Y. And so you want to put in variables that will help to explain the outcome of Y. The coefficient for each independent variable, so beta 1, beta 2, through beta K, is the predicted change in Y for a 1-unit change in X given the other independent variables in the model. And so we'll see how this isn't the same as taking 5 simple linear regressions and just adding them together. It's sort of like when you put them all in the same model, they affect each other. It's important to know how this is working. And then for the p-value for each coefficient indicates whether it is a significant predictor of Y given the other independent variables in the model. So in a sense, what we did with simple linear regression, we're doing just with multiple variables, but doing it simultaneously. If our goal is to explain political views, we can construct a model that uses multiple variables to predict a person's political views. And so this is where I would go and do my research and figure out what is sociological or political science theory say affects political views. And I'd come up with a handful of variables that I think are going to affect political views. So my dependent variable is political views. It's determined by my research questions. You know, the first step in this process was, what's your research question? And then that will dictate what your dependent variable is. And then the second is your independent variables, which could be like age, attend, which is frequency of attending religious services, race, and so on. And these are determined by sociological theory. So you don't just randomly put variables in, but you have informed, theory informs what variables you want to test. And a lot of times, when you're doing this research, you're like, there's one particular thing that you think hasn't been addressed or that people have missed in explaining political views, and you're going to add one more variable that you think is significant to explaining political views. But in this case, we're going to have five variables that you think are related. So the way that these are referred to is as models. So like model one is this one, which we've done, where you have political views and age. The equation is right here. And then we want to do another model where we add one more variable. We're going to add the variable attend to it. Some things happen when you go from model one to model two. And the first one is adding another statistically significant variable to your model causes R squared to increase. So you have R squared, and we use adjusted R squared because it accounts for things in the model that are important to account for. So R squared for this one is 0.014. So model one explains 1.4% of the variation in political views, whereas our second model is 0.043, and that's saying that this model explains 4.3% of the variation in political views. To understand the variation in political views, both age and religious attendance influences a person's political views. And so by having knowledge of how often a person attends church, you can have a better estimation of what their political views are. And you could keep adding more and more variables so that you could pinpoint a person who's in their 20s, who never attends church, who makes a certain amount of money, who has this level of education. You're narrowing in on the profile of a person where you can make a better and better prediction of what their political views are. And so you're able to explain more and more of the variation in political views. The second thing that happens when you add more variables is the individual effects of each variable, the betas, decrease. If you look up here, the beta for age is 0.094, but then when you add attend in, beta drops from 0.094 to 0.076. And so all of a sudden, age, when you include attend, age has less of a lower effect on political views. Any idea why that shift would happen? Because wouldn't you think that the effect of age should be the same regardless of everything else? A way to understand it is because age and religious attendance are correlated, they sort of eat into each other's effect on political views. If you think about it, if we're just looking at a person's age, are they in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, that will have a certain effect on political views. Then if you look at religious attendance, do they attend never, every week? That's going to affect political views. But then a person's age and how often they attend religious services are correlated as well. As you get older, you tend to attend religious services more. And so it's providing information about the same type of person. So when you're looking at age and attend together, there's overlap and what they can explain about political views, because as age goes up, religious attendance goes up. And so that trend that you're seeing with each of them individually, when combined, it has an overall less effect on political views. There's another example where I can try and tease that out more. But the important thing is to understand that as you add more variables to the model, the individual effect of each variable is going to most often go down. So again, with multiple regression, we want to compare the significance of coefficients. The question is, which variable in the model is most significant, i.e. which effect is least likely to be observed by random chance if the null hypothesis is true? Just on this model, which of the two is most significant, age or attend? Or do they have the same level of significance? Beta lets you know the magnitude of the effect, but if we want to know significance, just because something has a big effect it doesn't necessarily mean that it has the most significant. These are statistical terms, so significance is purely related to what is the probability that we would get an outcome as extreme as this one if the null hypothesis is true. R squared is a measure for the whole model. So if we look at age, we have beta, which is telling us the effect that age has on the dependent variable, or with this one, it's the effect that religious attendance has on political views. The T statistic is what we use when we do the hypothesis test, and that's telling us what the standardized test statistic is for that variable when the null hypothesis is true. And so then the question is, how likely would it be to get a test statistic as extreme as 20 if the null hypothesis is true? The p-value says 0. But if I want to know which of these two variables is more significant, like which one is the one that's least likely to occur if the null hypothesis is true, a quick way to look at it is which one has the highest T statistic. So if it has a really high T statistic, you know it's like the farthest one out there and the least likely. In a sense, if you're doing an analysis and you're like, I want to know what's going to have the most significant effect. And that's different from magnitude of effect, but it's important to differentiate between those two. The relative significance of variables can be assessed by comparing the value of the T statistic associated with each beta. So when we're thinking significance, it's in this realm, the T statistic and probability. And then the T statistic can be compared across variables because it's a standardized test statistic. So if we just look at betas, that wouldn't tell us because age is in 10-year increments and attend is in, you know, weekly attendance, monthly attendance, and so on. So that's why we look at the standardized test statistics. So you can actually compare, like, it's in the same units. And then the second part, which is which variable in the model has the biggest effect on the dependent variable. So which one's going to move political views the most? The relative effect of variables can be assessed by comparing the value of the standardized beta of each variable. So again, if we want to compare two variables or multiple variables, it's always critical to be using the standardized values. And so in this output, this is what beta means. So beta is the standardized coefficient. And so it's in units that are comparable. If you look at this one, which variable has the biggest magnitude of effect on political views? McKay? Attend. Okay, so if you're wanting to compare effect size of coefficients, you look at beta. If you want to know, the way that you calculate the standardized beta is just like how we did z-scores. You divide it by the standard error for the unstandardized version. So z-scores is very similar to the standardized beta. So beta can be compared across variables because it's been standardized. A one standardized unit increase in age will result in a 0.096 increase in political views. And similarly, a one-unit increase in attend will result in a 0.17 increase in political views. So you can compare which one has the bigger effect size on political views. But then a note here is that you should use the value of V, not beta, when calculating predicted variables. So when you're doing predicted variables, use this value because it's in units that make sense, like 10-year increments or weekly attendance. The standardized beta puts it in units that it's just like saying I got a 2100 on SAT. What does that mean? You want to know the specific units for it. So when you're doing predictive values, you always keep it in its original units. Again, this is model comparison that we're kind of walking through. And so comparing goodness of fit, one goal in regression analysis is to find the model that best fits your data. And so you'll see often it says goodness of fit or model fit. You want to find the model that explains the greatest proportion of variation in your dependent variable. We want to be able to explain as much of the variation in political views as we can. Relative model fit can be assessed by comparing each model's adjusted R-squared value. So R-squared is giving you a measure for the entire model. So again, right here, we have age and attend as our independent variables, and it explains 4.3% of the variation in political views. And then if we add this variable South, it's basically comparing people in the South to the rest of the country. We see that South has a significant effect. But as you build your model, you'll see that, you know, adding this variable doesn't really give me any more information for explaining political views. And there's drawbacks to putting in too many variables, because we had talked about this before, but like degrees of freedom, as you add more variables, your degrees of freedom go down. And so that makes your model less efficient. So we notice that when we add the variable South, which says that people in the South are going to have more conservative political views than people not in the South, this model explains 4.6% of the variation. So again, we're building a model. So what we can conclude from this is that model 2, this one down here, is a better fitting model than model 1. At the very end of your final project, you're going to have to say, here's my final model, and here's why I'm selecting this model over another model. Mainly because model 2 explains 4.6% of the variation in values of political views. This is explaining the summary statistics for your model. The most significant variable in the model is attend. The variable that has the largest effect on the values of political views is attend. It's a way to summarize the model that you picked. And you go into more detail, do a predicted value for a particular person who, you could say, a person who's 40 years old, attends monthly, and lives in the South. You could give a predicted political view score for that person. And then the last thing I'll cover today is when you have two highly correlated variables or two highly correlated independent variables. Let's say you're wanting to see the effect of education on political views, and so you see that EDUC, the number of years of schooling, has a negative effect on political views. So basically, the more years in school you spend, the less politically conservative you're going to become. And so this is the regression for that. Also, if we did a regression for degree, which basically says as the highest degree earned goes up, that has a significant negative effect on political views. And so you see it's a negative coefficient. And then look what happens if we put EDUC and degree, if they're put into the same model. We see that EDUC remains negative, but all of a sudden degree becomes positive. It becomes positive, and it also becomes non-significant. And it's basically saying that all the information that was provided about education was captured by this variable, EDUC. And knowing what their degree is doesn't provide any extra information. It doesn't have a significant effect on political views. So again, tomorrow we'll keep going through this, but the assignment is basically going to be start building your models and understand what's going on and make some predictions with your variables. And if you guys have other like specific questions with specific variables, you can ask me. So.